Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line.
Welcome to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and today we're talking about one of the biggest issues leaders face: fear around financial decision-making in business, in investing, and in personal life. Many people feel one wrong choice could derail their entire future, everything they've built, everything they've worked for. You know, our goal today is to bring clarity, confidence, and strategy to that fear. Joining me is someone who has, well, weathered every financial climate imaginable, Jeff Vanno. He is a real estate visionary with nearly 20 years of experience and close to $1 billion with a B in closed financing. He's a three-time 40 under 40 honoree, founder of multiple successful ventures, including LoanLinks AI and ReVerify, and a respected author shaping the next generation of industry leaders. His career was built in the intensity of, you know, the competitive kind of playing field of New York City market, right? This is not small city competition. This is top tier, top of the market, upper echelon competition. And that's where resilience and precision are pretty non-negotiable. So Jeff, welcome to The Bottom Line. Such a pleasure to have you here.
Ryan, appreciate the invite. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And as we dive in, we're focusing on how fear around money affects leaders at all levels and what truly drives that hesitation. So when I jump into the show, I always like to try to frame a problem and make it relatable to everybody. Now, as our network is surrounded all by entrepreneurs, business owners, these are some common problems we all face. So many leaders and entrepreneurs face paralysis when making those financial decisions. The fear of making a mistake, losing money, or, you know, disrupting their future creates a lot of hesitation. And as a consultant, I see that hesitation as something that can completely derail a business, you know, and it really becomes a threat of its own. So this segment, I want us to dive in on how to help the audience understand why this fear exists and how to shift from anxiety to informed confidence. So as the name of the show would suggest, I like to get to the bottom line and start providing as much value as possible. So I'm going to start with this. Pretty loaded question, but why do financial decisions create so much fear, even for experienced leaders?
That's a deep question. I think we could take it down many routes. One thing that I've learned from personal experience myself is a lot of what goes on externally actually manifests from the human internally, such as your nervous system, how your brain's wired, right? And I think as I've dove deep into those segments that school doesn't teach, I've realized it's true. So I'm thinking like, well, when do I have nerves, right? When do I have some type of anxiety? And it's not always about the dollar amount or the choice or being wrong. I think it comes from a certain level of being not properly prepared, right? If you've been in a situation before and you've overcome it, you can do it with your eyes closed, and then you can share with everybody how you overcame that situation. I think I've always lived my life where like personal is business and business is personal. And I don't know if that's right or wrong, but whether you're running a business and making a decision on an investment or an expense or hiring an employee, it goes very similar with what car you buy, what dining room set you buy, what couch you buy, right? You want to buy the $500 couch or the $5,000 couch? I think people have fear of making the same mistake because not because of what they lost, but because they think less of themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And they have fear of making that same mistake because they would then feel more stupid about themselves for making that same mistake. And most people, unfortunately, have nowhere to go with that mistake. So they leave it internally and like they don't tell anybody about it. And I think part of what separates someone like myself from a lot of other people that are active on social media, like I show everybody everything, right? Like if I make a bad decision or a bad hire or a bad investment, or I throw away $100,000 in developing tech that sucked or failed or people wouldn't adopt, I tell people about it, right? And I tell people my sentiment on why I think it failed or why I made that decision, you know, because in anything in life, it's a numbers game. And I think people need to develop wins. And I think once somebody makes that one critical loss or what they consider to be a terrible decision, they don't know how to get back on track with the small train of momentum. And I think they have to really figure out how to create an immediate win and stack those wins to then show themselves, I have the confidence, trust, and belief in myself to then make the right decision. And as you keep stacking those bricks up, I think people eventually make that critical decision, and hopefully this time they're right with it.
You know, it's funny because there's a few things I've got to pull out of there, some real nuggets of gold. Number one, you said business is personal and personal is business. I think there is no way you can truly separate business and personal life. I don't think balance exists. I think there's more rhythm than anything. But
I agree.
What you do in business carries over at home, and what you do at home carries over in business. That's just the reality of things. But also something you highlighted that I see in entrepreneurs on a daily basis. It's that constant drive of being overly critical of our own decisions, being overly critical of how we look to others based on what we do, how we handle things, what we spend, right? There's a lot there that becomes a little overbearing in the self-reflection side of things. Mm-hmm. It's like keeping up with the Joneses, right? But you can also turn that around into maybe you feel guilty or weird about spending a certain way or investing a certain way or making a certain decision because maybe some around you aren't able to make that kind of decision in their own business, right? So there's so much dynamic to what your response was that to our audience, I'm telling you right now, you really should have like a notepad and pen and take some notes because there's going to be a lot of wisdom shared in this segment. So I want to dive into the next question. You know, the first question kind of led into this really, really powerfully. How can someone, you know, really overcome that fear and make choices with confidence consistently?
I'm going to speak from my own, you know, personal experience and example. And most people that have known me for an extended period of time know a lot of what I'm about to say. And what I really want to do is share the new or maybe emphasize the gaps that a lot of people haven't put emphasis on. I'm not a tech guy. You know, I'm not a scholar in that world. Like, I'm a subject matter expert that started in the real estate and lending game in December of 2007 when I was 20 years old. And I went on like a fact-finding journey. And along that fact-finding journey with a goal or mission to figure out what caused 2008 to happen, I became an expert along the way as a byproduct of my curiosity. So like I live with the philosophy of every day I want to wake up with a curious mind and a curious heart, right? Because if you do those two things, your mind and your heart lead you, right? That's at least me, and your gut, like gut feeling and all that. You put all that together. Listen, I personally am $500,000 over budget on building tech that I know the industry needs. I know the humans need it. I know everyone needs it from start to finish, right? And I've had to sit with myself and be like, okay, if I just put $100,000, $200,000, $400,000 in of this money into Bitcoin, I'd be sitting on $20 to $50 million right now, right? If I didn't try and change the industry. So every day as I'm on social media and I'm seeing people post, you know, what Bitcoin's at or post these investments that are being made, I made a choice to go with what my heart believed was best for the industry as an industry expert and also elevate myself and challenge myself to be something I had never been before, which was a tech entrepreneur, right? For prop tech and fintech. So that's number one. Those are decisions. And again, $500,000 over budget means there's a lot more money there, right? It's just not $500,000 total invested over the past 8 years. It's a lot more than that. And you wake up every day wondering and questioning yourself if you're right, if you're doing the right things, like when is that going to click? When is that going to work? But I personally have resorted back to understanding that every single thing that you do, good or bad, you need good, you need bad. Those both come both polarities, is data and feedback, right? And the more you do, the more good you're going to have and the more bad you're going to have. It's just a numbers game. If you do two things, you have one good, one bad. If you do 200 things, you might have 100 good, 100 bad. I personally made a decision to become as anti-fragile as possible, right? And it wasn't because I was ultimately very fragile. I was a kid, yeah, I was fragile in some capacities. I never had the proper training. And I actually turned to strength training and trained with the NFL combine trainer during COVID 4 times a week. And we still train twice a week. And we kick up our workouts, and sometimes it's more of like a therapy session, right? And what he's taught me to do to get back to having that confidence is being able to control what you can control. And that goes to getting the appropriate sleep. But hey, guys, going to bed at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock at night, it's free. Hydrating, you're drinking water, it's free. Not eating 3 hours before bed, it's free, right? So I started looking at all the places in my life that I could control and make decisions on that could only make me better and not have financial risk while having an absorbent amount of financial risk, right? So sometimes we keep trying to push, and all you're doing is digging a deeper hole per se. And sometimes the best advice is to stop digging. But I think it's unique for every single person to understand how you're wired, how your brain needs to function, and also being true to yourself. Like, what masks are you wearing, or what roles or titles are you running with that have nothing behind them? Because I think a lot of people do that for the wrong reasons.
You know, I've got to jump in right there, because that's a really good point. There's so much gold in what you said. I've got to highlight one thing in particular that really stood out to me. As far as building that confidence and eliminating that fear, just making moves, making decisions, learning from the experience, gathering data and information so you have things to reflect on, and just look at the numbers, right? You make a move, it might be the wrong move, but you're going to learn really fast what the right move could have been. So to our audience, we'll be right back. Up next, we'll talk about why so many leaders struggle to predict future success, and how better forecasting can turn uncertainty into direction. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to The Bottom Line and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in both English and Spanish. On the move? You can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business, news, to lifestyle, culture, and far beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. We are back on the show, and I am still here with Jeff Van Note, and I'm telling you right now, you need to make sure you've got that pen and pad I mentioned last segment, because there's going to be a lot of wisdom in this conversation. We just broke down the fear behind financial decisions. Now we're shifting into another major challenge. That's predicting future success. Now, if anyone could ever truly lock this down to where it is step-by-step platform blueprint, that person's going to be wildly successful. But many leaders feel like they're guessing instead of planning. And today we're unpacking what it takes to forecast with a bit more confidence. So Jeff, it's such a pleasure to have you here. The way I'm going to frame this, so we have a really good platform to start with, is really many business owners, including some that I deal with, struggle to see what's ahead, right? Uncertainty, rapid changes in the market, and lack of structure, you know, in making that forecast really creates an overwhelmed kind of atmosphere. You know, this segment, I really want us to help the viewers understand why predictions fail and what strong forecasting really looks like. And then from there, how to build, you know, forward-looking with confidence, right? So to really get this ball rolling fast, deep question, loaded question, just like the previous ones, why is forecasting and planning so difficult for so many business owners?
Really great question. I think we can unravel that into I want to be rich and I want to be spiritual avenue. I think only time, physical time, in an industry or a sector or a segment or a profession gives you that, right? And I think as you sharpen your sword and you get more time, hopefully your predictions become more accurate or more in line. You know, like one thing with myself, I might see something today and make a prediction. And along with that prediction needs to come a time frame of which I think that prediction might come true, right? And if I predict, you know, tomorrow that it's going to snow, I'm not really predicting it because I see the weather app, you know? But if I say, hey, on June 15th next year, it's going to snow, people are going to be like, first of all, it doesn't snow in June. What are you talking about, right? Now you start building credibility. If you can start predicting more things that are unlikely to happen in the future before anybody sees them, I think that's really where the visionaries and experts thrive from, right? But back to like your original question from most business owners and entrepreneurs, I think capital planning and variables, you know, are what really provide that delta of success. If you run a business and, hey, listen, great, awesome, we're going to make $1 million this year. And you run into a lawsuit and that lawsuit costs you $200,000 to defend or to whatever, engage. Yeah, you said you were going to make $1 million, but you didn't see that $200,000, I call it blindside.
Yeah, all that additional cost that was now thrown in the mix.
Go back to, oh, shoot, you know, we run a bakery and our power went out. You can't run your bakery, right? So I think that's really where people like myself, I usually try and say, well, what's going to happen today, this week, this month, this quarter, biannually, annually, what about 3 years from now, 5 years from now? And then I usually try and best reverse engineer how I want that to happen. So I know if in 5 years I want to have a major tech exit, I have to unravel what has to be done, like more down to like a slice of pizza to the bottom of the pizza that you're taking your bite out of, right? When you're holding that pizza up and you're looking at it, you're biting, you know, the bottom part of it, the bottom V. Doesn't mean that the top crust isn't going to get its bite. You just have to take and work your
exactly.
way there. And as you're biting the pizza, your cheese might fall off, your pepperoni might fall off. But I think business owners, what I've seen and I've personally experienced is there are very few professionals out there that are guiding business owners to say, hey, watch out what's behind that curve in the road, right? Or, all right, I understand that door is unlocked and you could open it, but this is what might be behind that door. I also go back to what I said earlier, everything that you do, good or bad, is data and feedback. So I'm a bigger believer in like, throw me into the fire, let me figure out how to solve this on my own so that I could tell you the real reason or problem or solution. And I think most people don't have the appetite for that. And then I also think most people don't truly go all in. And a common theme that my trainer and I speak about are having your back against the wall. A lot of entrepreneurs really have well-paying W-2 jobs and salaries. Hey, we're doing this side hustle and it's great and it's awesome. But it's like, if it's there, great. If it's not, great, right? They can get by without it. And I think that's where we're at, that fork in the road in the United States in particular, because look, people aren't spending the way they were. You know, real estate is down a little bit and costs of businesses have risen drastically, whether it's rent or insurance or products. And I think we're going to really start to see who has the secret sauce and the ones that don't and that fail. My biggest message to you is if you feel it in your gut, get back up on that horse and do it again. Because if you failed, you're that much closer to success.
You know, it's funny because you actually captured a few things that I have used when it came to trial by fire, had to learn through failure and then success. And number one is you've got to start with the exit. You got to build your plan from the ending destination. It's just like planning a vacation, right? You don't just hop in a car, drive off any direction. No, you plan on where you're going to go, what you're going to do while you're there, and then you map how to get there. And now one thing to understand is you got to plan for the plane to change. Things are going to happen. Detours are going to take place. But as long as you have that destination decided, you can see it, you can feel it, you understand it, you're going to end up at that destination no matter what turns take place, right? So you've got to start there. But at the same time, something that I find vitally important is you got to be brave enough to take your hits and get back up. A lot of people are really terrified to make a wrong turn, to have to pivot quickly and be agile when things go wrong or stuff gets hard. But if you're not prepared to do that, it's going to be difficult to forecast and plan for the future. Now, when you're doing this, like you've said, you've got to learn from those wins, those mistakes, you know, when things get hard and when they get easy, you got to learn from that stuff. Use that data. And then from there, you can set those milestones. You can use logic and reason to understand where things are going to be realistically, and then give yourself a 10% margin or 20% margin for a safety net as the plan may change. But, you know, a good question I've got. You're definitely someone who has seen your fair share of wins, losses, and you've learned a lot by taking really good licks, if I'm being honest. It's something I can relate to deeply. So how can leaders see early warning signs before problems really hit?
I think anyone can spot problems that are likely to occur, right? Like, it's like, oh, shoot, that 2-year-old just put this glass on the corner of the table, right? Yeah. And it's very likely that this glass is going to fall. And those don't even move me at this point, right? Like, because problems are going to happen. That's just the nature and cost of doing business. Where blindside hits have almost taken me out multiple times have been both on the personal and professional front. And I'll give like 3 real life examples. So I had hired somebody back in 2023 with endless, infinite potential. And I was in the process of building a product for Reverify, and it cost $85,000 just to add this new functionality feature product, right? And I was like, okay, perfect person, perfect fit. I know it's the perfect product. And after all the money was spent building the product, 30 days after that, this person left the company, right? In between the hire and committing to build that product, I had been sued by an attorney who was one of my clients looking to borrow alternative financing in real estate. He committed fraud, and in order for him to try and save face, he sued me, right? So now I have a new almost 6-figure investment that I have to babysit, manage, deal with. I have a new person that I have to train, manage, babysit, coach, and all the other things that come with, you know, being at the top of the company. Those 2 things right there could take the life out of somebody. Then a blindside legal hit, right? Where when you're in the tech space, you're always raising capital, right? Because you're always building for the future. And yeah, revenue's coming in. Sometimes it doesn't come in fast enough. And that's just market cycles.
You know, I've got to jump in right there because you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And something you brought up is, which is a little bit of a different dynamic, and I was not expecting to go this direction, but you also highlighted something as being maneuverable when things are hitting you as curveballs do, when you don't see it coming the way you thought. It's not coming right down the pipe. It's coming at you from the side. Maybe it's sinking in on you. You know, there's a lot of different things that can take place that ultimately change the playing field.
So I look at it as you're standing in dodgeball, and everyone's around you, and you're naked in the middle of the floor, and there's 500 people constantly throwing dodgeballs at you. And that's kind of like how you're like dodging, ducking, dipping, weaving.
Exactly. So, Jeff, this has been an incredibly valuable conversation. Where can our audience find you? How can they follow your work and continue this conversation, whether through your companies, your book, or your online platforms?
Yeah, so we have a podcast called Deposit That. I record with very cool, interesting, inspiring, motivational people with real stories. I love it. So Deposit That. It's on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, all that. And then Instagram is a really good way to communicate. I'm really my true, authentic self on there. I put it out there raw and real in real time. I break real time news inside of industries and make speculative predictions. It's Jeff Van Note Senior SR. So Jeff Van Note SR on Instagram. And that's just really here. I'm here to share the truth. You know, I'm here to share what I see, and I'm here to share what I experience. And my goal is really just help give people a path or give people some motivation or spark some critical thinking that maybe they're not conventionally thinking about.
I appreciate that deeply. And I know our audience does as well. So thank you, Jeff, for this powerful conversation. To our viewers, remember that your decisions today shape your opportunities tomorrow. So we'll be right back to introduce a new guest and dive deeper into topics that really correlate with what we've talked about today. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. I'm your host, Ryan Herpin, and in these next few segments, we're talking about some very, very important things. But this segment in particular, we're talking about something every professional and homeowner can relate to: trust. You know, anywhere you are in life, anywhere you are in the world, doesn't matter what you're doing, trust is a very important thing. Whether it's in business, real estate, or personal decisions, knowing who to trust can make or break your outcome. Joining me today is someone who's built his entire career on integrity and leadership. Ricky Chavez is a team leader, and I've got to tell you, just in the short period of time I've gotten to know this gentleman, extremely powerful, very unique, and someone who stands out amongst a crowd. The Ricky Chavez team at Better Homes and Gardens, real estate, gray, greens, my goodness. No, he's also a retired U.S. Army veteran, so that's just a top off the cake there. And he's also a host of Battle Ready right here on Now Media Television. With more than 30 years of experience in leadership and human dynamics, from the military to corporate HR and real estate, Ricky knows the power of trust, strategy, and communication in helping people make life-changing decisions. So, Ricky, welcome to The Bottom Line. It's such a pleasure to have you here today.
Ryan, I appreciate you having me today.
So today, we're diving into what happens when trust is broken or misplaced, especially during big financial or life decisions. So let's explore why trust isn't just an emotion, but the true foundation of every successful relationship, professional or personal. So looking at this problem in a way that everyone can understand it, right? Many people, you know, they face this challenge, and it really, it's knowing who to trust during major decisions, right? From buying a home or making business moves, which I help people through every day, it often feels like everyone has an agenda, and one wrong choice could cost everything. So in this segment, I really want to explore how to build that trust and how it's broken and what we can do to be smart and confident in our choices moving forward. So as the name of the show would suggest, I like to get right to the bottom line. I'm going to start with a pretty big question. Why is trust such a huge part of real estate, maybe even more than the home itself?
You know, Ryan, if you look at it like this, this is probably the biggest investment a person will ever make. You know, it's the days gone where you're going to find a home under $100,000, $150,000, $250,000. So you're talking about $250,000, $500,000 of your hard-earned income to put into a home. That's a big, big, scary move. You know, so it's really important that when you partner with somebody like a realtor, you feel comfortable with the information they're giving you and that there's no ulterior agendas or motivation.
I think that is very, very important. And it's funny, you reminded me of a joke, and it kind of made me chuckle a little bit because, you know, I was always told the biggest investment you'll have in life is your home and any real estate in general. And then my father, right before I got married, said, "No, son, the biggest investment you'll make is your wife. And then next it's your home." It just, I always found that to be so funny. But, you know, having trust in a move like that is extremely important, because working with a realtor I did for my first home and growing a family and things, you know, if it wasn't for the trust and relationship we built, it didn't matter what home we were looking at. It didn't matter what opportunity it was. If I can't believe you're looking at my best interest, I don't really want to work with you. But, you know, what are the signs that someone is working with the wrong agent or advisor?
Well, I think, you know, what I've had a lot or experienced a lot was the fact that people ask me, "Ricky, what's your opinion?" Right? And everybody has an opinion. I think the importance is not about my opinion. It's about me providing all the resources for that person to make a good decision. I never want to be the person that motivates them to buy the house or motivates them not to buy the house. I want to help them with all the resources to make that good decision, because ultimately it's theirs. And that sounds like a push off, but the reality is, everybody's financial situation is different. So for me to throw my opinion in there, where maybe I'm not as well off, or maybe I have a little bit more than somebody else, that's not important. It's finding the inspectors to go out and inspect the home. You know, an inspector is like if you would call it a doctor, a generalist. You know, you go to your primary care doctor, you go see them, and let's say you have a problem with your eyes, or your throat, then you go see a specialist. If you have a problem with your vascular, your vascular part, you go to a vascular person. I've set them up with the inspector who sets them up with the specialists so that they can make good decisions. My first license was a mortgage license. Although I had a mortgage license, I mean, and it's years back, I don't talk money. I refrain from, I give them the general part of it, but I set them up with a lender that can walk them through the specifics of the current market, the rates, the products. And so when people start just pushing them in the direction that they want, I think that's where the challenges are. You know, and in today's world, everybody has a degree in Google, right?
Right. That's a funny thing to say, but you're so true.
Yeah. Well, everything on Google is not true. So just because you read it in this article or another article or whatever, we need to get you with the specialists. And that's where I think I do my best work is I always say I have a guy. I find the guy that best will help them make their decision. So I think when somebody starts pushing you towards a decision and they're not necessarily the expert, but they're pushing you on their opinion, I think that's a red flag.
It's a big red flag. That's definitely a big red flag. And I can relate to that in a lot of levels. As a consultant, I don't have the answer for everything. I truly don't. I don't have the answer for certain areas that are outside of my realm, legal, HR. I might have some advice, maybe some experience in some things, but I'm no expert or specialist in those areas. So if I have a client, I've got to make sure there's results, no matter whether I'm the guy for it or not. So I like to connect them with a specialist, someone who's an expert in that subject matter specifically. So something I can kind of take away from what you're saying is, you know, red flags really show up when you feel there's pressure to change the way you think for someone else's betterment, right? For you, it seems consistent that you're just giving them information, data points, facts, resources, so they can make the best decisions for themselves. You're not trying to influence how they think. You're just trying to give them everything they need so they can think. And I think that is a very, very important part of building that trust. So, you know, my next question was really going to be on transparency and communication. But now I'm curious from your perspective, how has your ability to be transparent and communicate well prevented trust from being damaged?
Well, you know, it's the truth of it is you have to. You're charged with the job of making sure that you give them the good, the bad, and the ugly. Mm. And sometimes the ugly is ugly. And you know, you need to be able to tell them that so that they are sure at the end of the day that their decision is made based on what they not need. So now maybe I give them some, I'll give you an example. Let's say there's an issue with a house in stucco, all right? I'm like, you know, there's a lot of problems here. Let's go find the experts. Get the experts out there because right now it's ugly. So now what we got to do is find out, right? Number one, what it takes to fix it. How bad is it? And then at the end of it is what is your decision based on that information?
Yeah. Yes. I find that to be pretty powerful, pretty important though. It's, here's their insight. Here's their perspective. Here's their expertise. Based on what they think and what they say, now you have a better idea of what direction you should go. It's just you're not missing any more information. My father, he's been a carpenter his whole life. He's got his own company in construction and things like that. So whenever it comes to any kind of renovation I do in my home, although I grew up around it and done a lot of it myself, I still reach out to an expert. Hey, what do you think about this? How should I do this? How should I remove this wall? My wife is certain that wall needs to go. So it's still reaching out to experts and getting that, you know, and honestly, I think there's a lot of power in doing that for your clients and showing it, because it's only going to grow that trust in you, because it's not an ego or pride thing. It's a, I'm going to take care of you thing. It's, I'm going to do what's necessary for you to have the best information and the best results. I find that to be powerful. And I feel like a lot of people might overlook that because of ego and pride. So kind of briefly, what's one question people should ask, you know, always ask an agent to know if they're safe to work with?
I think it's ask for referrals, ask for some of the people they've worked with, look them up on in HR for their references or on their Google business page, maybe even reach out to them. I think the other thing is that nobody asks is, how do you get along with other agents?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think that right there is one that a lot of people might, you know, they've probably never been asked that. They've probably never thought of that as a way to be measured. But you're kind of giving me some thoughts there, and maybe there's things I even missed in that process, because that's a good measurement. Because when I talk to other customers and clients, I kind of ask similar questions.
But so one thing that, and this is my opinion only, you know, everybody has their opinion, but my job as an agent is to partner with the other agent for the success of our buyer and our seller. Mm. Not to argue with them, we negotiate. The reality is I'm negotiating my client's point of view. They're negotiating their client's point of view. There's not my opinion. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do with the other agent. And if we can partner, you know, through that process, it's a win-win for the buyer and the seller.
Exactly. It's everyone wins, no one loses. And that there is so important. Now to our audience, we'll be right back, because up next, what happens when pressure takes over? We'll talk about how to slow down, think clearly, and make confident decisions, no matter the stakes. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to The Bottom Line and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move? You can also catch the podcast version right on our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and everything in between, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. Now, I am excited to jump back in this conversation with our guest, Ricky Chavez. So he is, once again, he's a veteran, a leader, and trusted real estate professional. In our first segment, we talked about the importance of trust when making big life decisions. Now let's talk about another challenge so many people face: pressure. Doesn't matter where you're at, what you're doing, pressure is going to exist, whether it's in the market, other people, or even our own, you know, expectations. It can be hard to slow down and make the right move. So to frame this in a way that I know we can all relate to, you know, many people face today, you know, it's the pace of life, right? And the pressure to decide quickly. We feel like we've got to move fast, be decisive, and control everything. But when emotions take over, logic and clarity get lost. This segment is intended to help all of our viewers recognize that slowing down and creating space for thought is a form of power, not hesitation. So Ricky, it's such a pleasure to have you here with us.
Hey, thanks again. I appreciate being here.
So diving right back into this, I want to keep picking that beautiful brain of yours and sharing some of that experience you have, because there's a lot of wisdom to share. And I want to start with, you know, why do buyers and sellers feel so rushed today, you know, today by the market, by others, or even by themselves? Why is there that pressure to move fast?
You know, you don't know what you don't know. Mm-hmm. That's it. You know, you just don't know. It depends on who you're working with, what you're doing. I always try to make it a point to share with my clients, I can move as fast or as slow as they want. I'm not in a hurry. I'm here for them. The one thing I like to pride myself and my team on, we don't chase money. It's all about taking care of people and helping them. But you know, you think in Houston, there's over 48,000 realtors, right? And I believe last year, almost 60% of them didn't sell a house.
Wow.
Right? Not one. And then above that, another percentage of them sold very few. So this is how some people have decided the career they've decided to go into, and there, you know, there's some struggles out there. So It's kind of how they present themselves. And some people are just looking, you know, to pay their bills. So it's really important that, you know, you make sure you partner with somebody that has your best interest in heart.
You know, I like to frame that a little bit. You know, it's the motives, the reason why can make a big difference of why the buyer or seller is going to, you know, feel that pressure, or why the person they're working with is going to apply that pressure, right? If someone's got it in their mind, they just want to get rich, rich, rich. You're going to feel a whole lot of pressure as a buyer or seller to make a decision fast because they want to move on to their next one, right? Now, it's finding people, from my understanding, that they're moving at your pace. They're moving in accordance with what you're after, a home for your family or an investment property, whatever it is. It's making sure their motive and the reason why isn't surrounding just themselves. It's got to be partly selfless, right? I mean, that makes sense to me. But, sure. You know, what risks come when someone makes decisions too fast? Like, what's the repercussion of that?
Well, you know, I met with a client and they wanted to sell. They hadn't been in their house very long. We went through the numbers. We looked at the market, and understand this, as a realtor, my compensation comes from selling a house, right? That's where I make my money. Now, as we talked and we, you know, just their whole situation, I suggested maybe they need to rent it for a year, let the market catch up, because they had kind of bought their house a little bit more than the value of it is. And what I mean by that is they did a lot of upgrades. They added this, they added that. So they kind of priced themselves out of the market. I mean, I can sell it, not an issue, but based on all the numbers, the location, everything that was going on, it would make just more sense maybe to rent it. And when I told them, you know, maybe you ought to consider renting it, could you financially do that? I told them it's very important that they ran through their own numbers to decide if that was an option. And I said, let's don't make a decision today. Let's don't do that. I want you guys to go home and let's talk, you know, y'all talk it through, and I'll come back in a day or two and we'll revisit it. And one of the things they said to me is they were very surprised. I'm like, I didn't understand. And I said, because we understand their compensation. I make my compensation. This is my compensation based on what our conversation on selling the house, but based on renting the house, you did this. Why did you flip it? Like, I'm not that important. You know, my whole being is about the long-term relation. You know, we're going to be together forever. Right now, I think I need to give you all the information to make a good decision on your own. And we ended up renting their home. So, and I'm sure in a year or so, or whenever it's ready, you know, we'll always be ready to sell it. But, you know, each situation has to fit the person. It's not a one size fits all. It's all, you know, situational. So you got to make sure and take care of them.
You know, I like that, because you also address something that's universally applicable. And it's, if you take the proper care of your customers, clients, they're not just a one-time deal. They become somebody that wants to keep coming back to you because they trust you. They like you. They want to work with you because, well, you do them right. You make sure they're taken care of. You have their best interest in mind. So it's slow down. Do things the right 100%. Way. And that's powerful. And it sounds like you've lived that and you've seen the outcome of it. You've seen where that consistent decision to do the right thing for your customers, your clients, it turns into so much more, where you have a lifetime person who wants to, you're the only realtor they're ever going to use. To me, that's powerful. And that's real value.
And the funny thing about it is so many clients don't use their realtor the next time, you know, so for a lot of reasons. But I think the big thing for me is I'm around. I'm always going to be around. I'm having fun with this. It's probably the funnest thing I've ever done in my life. And I've done a lot of different things. And matter of fact, in December, I'm having my client appreciation at my property, and bringing them and their families and their kids and, you know, hang out and just enjoy ourselves, because it's family. That's what it's all about. Just taking care of everybody like they're your family.
That's powerful. So while we're on that note, outside of just business, right? What's one simple strategy someone can use to avoid being pressured? Like I said, we can talk about business, but I want to see in life. You've lived an incredible life. You've done a lot of things. What's one way you've used, and what's a strategy that others can use to avoid that pressure?
Don't make a decision when you're stressed, ever. Just get all the information together, revisit it, and come back. And I'll tell you something. My wife is really good at this, because she'll get really hot about maybe a correspondence that she's received, and then she'll type it out, and then she'll walk away.
Ooh, that's powerful.
And then she'll come back and look at it and like, okay, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe this, maybe that. And she revisits it. But I think that's an amazing strategy. Don't send any communication when you're mad or when you're happy. Just write it, look away. And I'll be brutally honest. When I feel like that, I'll go take out a Word document. I'll write it up on a Word document and walk away, because with my luck, I'll hit the send by accident. So,
yep. It's funny. Yeah. It's the difference between responding and reacting. Emotional intelligence is all about responding even when the emotions are big, but not letting them influence how you communicate. It's being objective based, knowing the result you want and responding to the situation rather than emotionally reacting. Right. So
sure. Ricky, another good point is just to, if you get something or you're within a conversation or any kind of interaction, stop and ask, let me make sure I understand what you mean. You know what I mean? Ask them, because emails, texts, they're so unemotional. That person
so true.
May not have meant it exactly the way they said it came across, but you're just reading, right? So I'll pick up the phone, like, hey guy, let me make sure that I understand what you sent me.
It's seeking understanding, not just being heard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%.
That's a really good point to make.
I tell people all the time, don't listen how it was said, listen to what was said, and then evaluate it.
Yeah. That takes the emotion out of it. I like that. I'm actually going to use that, because that's got some brevity. You're saying a whole lot by saying very little.
Sure. So
this conversation has been extremely valuable. Where can the people follow your work? Where can the audience connect with you, your team, tune into what you're doing? And also, how can they find Battle Ready, the show that you have here on Now Media?
Yeah, sure. Download it on Roku, just like yourself, the iOS, and come in. Or you can go to Now Media Television and look on the shows. My phone number is 832-541-7545. Cypress Area Realtor. On with Better Homes and Gardens, Gary Green. You can see my website for real estate. And if you just want to get together and talk over things, I'm very fortunate. I have a team of five. We speak seven languages. We've been all over the world. My background is human resources, so I know about transitioning from one city to another, moving house to house. So yeah, just reach out to us. We'll hopefully we can ease the stress.
Now, Ricky, thank you so much for joining me on The Bottom Line today. Your perspective reminds us that clarity and trust don't come from rushing. They come from intention, patience, and integrity. And to our viewers, the next time you face a big decision, pause, ask the right questions, listen to your instincts. The bottom line is simple. The right choice always becomes clear when you give yourself time to think. I'm Ryan Herpin, and this has been The Bottom Line. Until next time, keep leading with wisdom, confidence, and purpose.